This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, and the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo Podcast for more intense sexual themes. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions, which opens up bonus content. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Breakdown by Black Rand, 1958. Chapter 01. Some people just made Rain want to puke. He had no idea how they could live with themselves. He was listening to one of those people. He was sitting in a waiting room in a car dealership. He wasn't particular about where he bought his cars. He figured the dealerships were all run by a bunch of crooks that gouged every penny out of people they possibly could. He knew what he wanted and how much he was willing to pay for it. This time, he had just bought a new 1970 Dodge truck with the Dude package. That was 3 months previously, and he had it in for an oil change and servicing, since they'd given him coupons that made it free. There was a young lady at the counter, and the service manager was feeding her quite a line of bullshit. She had told the service guy that she was traveling through, and her lights kept getting dimmer and dimmer. It was cold out, and her heater wasn't working right. A few miles outside of town, her car died and she was stranded. She had walked to the nearest house and called a tow truck, and they towed it in. It was getting late, and the dealership was about to close. He was telling her that her battery was bad. He'd sell her a new battery, and she could be on her way. It would take about 10 minutes. He could close up the shop and go home. She'd get back in her car, everything would look good, and 100 miles down the road, she'd be stranded again. For some reason, Rain had figured out, mechanics like to lie to women. It was despicable, and he wasn't going to let that happen. "It's not the battery, ma'am," he told her. "What the hell is wrong with you, man? She obviously has a generator problem. That's why your lights kept dimming and your heater blower wasn't working right. There's nothing wrong with your battery. It's obviously good, or you wouldn't have gotten this far. Either your generator is bad or the belt's broken. This jackwagon is just trying to get you out of his hair so he can close." The jackwagon started to bluster, and Rain stood up. The service manager had been out on the floor when Rain came in, and it was apparent that he hadn't gotten a good look at Rain. His friends called him Tiny. There was a reason for that. It was a joke. He was anything but tiny. He was 6 feet 5 inches in his socks, and he weighed 310 pounds. None of it was fat belly. When he was playing pro football, he weighed 350, and that extra 40 was belly. He'd been retired for 3 years, and he gradually lost the belly. He had started powerlifting in competitions 2 years earlier, and although he hadn't been winning, he'd been doing well. When he stood up, Mr. Service Manager got a look for the first time, and he swallowed his tongue. The woman looked up at him, and her eyes went a little wide. What really pissed Rain off about the whole deal was the little shadow at her side. She was a little dusky princess. She was holding Mama's hand, and she was absolutely adorable. She had a little white ribbon in her hair, and she looked like a living doll in her little white dress. If the moron had his way, she'd be walking down the road in the middle of the night, shivering in the cold in that little white dress. Rain wanted to choke him. Mom looked up at Rain.
"Are you a mechanic, mister?" she asked.
"In a way, yes," he told her. "I build custom street rods. I know about cars, and this guy is jerking you around. You need to have your generator tested and the belts checked."
She looked back at the idiot.
"I think it's your battery," he stammered.
"He might be right, though. We won't be able to look at it tonight. We could see if we could squeeze you in tomorrow sometime. She just told you she's traveling,"
Rain snarled.
"She can't wait here tonight. You need to fix it now. Sorry, we closed 5 minutes ago," he said.
Rain thought for a minute, then he stuck out his hand.
"I'm Rainford Jackson," he told her. "I think I can help you if think you can trust me."
She gave Rain a cool appraisal. Her long, slender fingers gave him a strong grip.
"I'm Tabora Henry," she said.
"This is Mally."
She indicated to the shadow. He knelt down on the floor.
"Hi, Mally," he said. "Everyone calls me Rain or Tiny."
She giggled.
"You don't look very tiny," she said.
Mally stared up at this giant white man. He had nice eyes, she thought. He looked like a bear, and she was a little afraid because he was so big, but she liked his eyes. They smiled at her. He laughed.
"No, they call me that for a joke. I have a tiny brain, that's why they call me that."
She giggled again.
"Mally, do you think I can fix your mom's car?"
he asked her. She nodded.
"Yes, please." It was cold in there.
Mally was still a little cold. When their car had stopped, Mama had wrapped her in Mama's big coat, but it kept getting colder, and she could still feel her toes kind of tingling. When the truck had come to pull their car, it was warm inside, and the driver had given her a cupcake. She reached out and touched Rain's cheek.
"Yes, please," she said. "I think you can fix our car."
He stood back up.
"If you let me, I'll take you to my garage. I have a truck. I'll leave you at the garage. There's a nice room in there.
It has a bed, a bathroom, and a small kitchen. I use it when I'm too tired to go home or when I'm working late. I'll drop you too, come back here, pick up your car and bring it back to the garage. I'll see if I can fix it tonight. If I need parts or something I don't have, you can spend the night there and I'll fix it in the morning. How does that sound?
Rain could tell she was very reluctant. He didn't blame her.
How about if I call my sister to come over for a while? He asked. You'll like her. She's very nice and you won't have to worry about being alone with me except for the drive over. Would that work?
She nodded.
Yes, thank you very much. I'll pay you whatever it takes. I have money.
He nodded.
Okay. I'll just call Barrett at the pharmacy.
She answered the phone.
Hey sis, where you at?
He asked.
I'm leaving to get something to eat.
She said.
What you up to, bub? Wanna join me? I'm a little tied up right now.
He said.
Hey, were you going to get carry out or dine in? I was going to pick something up at the store.
She said.
I was thinking pizza. Will you do me a huge favor?
He asked.
I have two guests. Pick up a couple of larges for me, will you?
Hold on a minute. He covered the phone.
What do you girls like on pizza?
Pepperoni. Mally said. That was her favorite. Tabora nodded. Make one of them pepperoni and the other one everything. He said.
I'll pay you back. You going to 14th Street?
Yep, bring them to the garage and I'll meet you there. He told her.
I might be gone, but Tabora and Mally, my two new friends, will be there. I'll be back in 15 if I'm not there. I'll have the oven hot. Kay, love my bruh.
She said.
Love my sis. He told her. I don't know what to say.
Tabora looked up at Rain. Her big brown eyes were filled with tears and glistening.
Just say thanks and I'll tell you I'm happy to do it.
He told her.
Give me the keys to your car and we'll get going. My car done, asshole?
He asked the service guy. Rain could tell he wanted to say something smart, but discretion dictated that he not. He nodded.
Good, push Mr. Bora's car outside and lock it up. I'll pick it up in a bit.
The service guy gave Rain his keys and he and the two girls walked out to the truck. Rain fired it up and got the heater blasting.
Sorry, I should have warmed it up. He said. That's okay.
Tabora said.
We're fine.
He looked over and Mally was pulling her seatbelt around her, her mop of black curls bobbing. He helped her buckle it, and they started for the garage. It was only about 10 minutes away.
So, what brings you to Las Cruces? Where were you headed?
We running away.
Mally spoke up. She didn't really know what that meant, but she knew that Daddy had been bad and she was afraid of him. She was afraid about going someplace new, too, but Mama was with her, and she was being brave. He glanced over at Tabora and there were tears running down her cheeks.
Okay, he said. I sense that there's a long story here. Why don't we save that? Let's get your car fixed first.
She shot him a look of gratitude, and he turned on the radio. It was Three Dog Night singing. One Man Band. It seemed appropriate, and the girls both knew the song. They sang along and the truck was rocking.
I like your truck.
Mally called over the music. It was a nice truck, and it was very warm. She kicked her feet happily to the beat of the music. She liked music.
How old are you, Mally?
Rain asked her.
4.
She held up 4 chubby little fingers. She thought about her birthday party. Mama and Daddy had a big fight after her friends went home, and she had run to her bedroom and hidden under the covers on her bed.
Well, you're the cutest 4-year-old I've ever met. He told her. You want to get married?
She laughed.
Yes, but not till I'm 10. Are you married, Rain?
She wondered what his wife might think about her. Mally hoped she was nice.
No, I was waiting until you turned 10.
He told her. That was funny, and Mally laughed. Thinking about her being married to Rain when he was so big and she was so little was very funny. Tabora was smiling, and the transformation was amazing. Rain had been giving her the once-over out of the corner of his eye. She was as cute as a kitten. She was tiny, barely 5 feet, if she was that, and didn't look as if she weighed 100 pounds. Her skin was a glowing light brown, and her hair was a glossy mop of black ringlets with auburn hints. He wondered if those were natural. It was, as it turned out. After he got to know her, she confided to him that her father had been a red-headed white man, and that's where the glowing auburn streaks came from. Rain could tell she was scared. The truck was nice and toasty and they just drove, getting into Santana's.
Black magic woman.
Just before he opened the door and they pulled into his garage.
I think this is our song.
He told Mally.
I was just minding my own business and God sent me you. Are you a magic woman or an angel, Mally?
She giggled.
Sometimes I'm an angel.
She said.
Sometimes I'm naughty, but I try to be Mama's angel. I'll be your magic woman, Rain.
Barrett wasn't there yet, so Rain showed them around the little apartment on the second floor, overlooking the shop. Got the after-school cartoons up on the TV for Mally, and went to get the car. She sat on the floor, and Tabora got her a pillow and wrapped a blanket around her. She liked the cartoon, and the blanket was soft and fluffy. She used the pillow to prop herself up and became engrossed in the cartoon, the rest of the world fading away. Rain took his tow truck, drove back to the dealership, and hooked up her car. It was a Ford Fairlane, looking as if it was about 10 years old. It was in decent shape, but it was easy to tell it hadn't been maintained. The front tires had cord showing and the front end was out of alignment. He remembered that Tabora had told him she had money. But he doubted she had much, not if the shape of her car meant anything. When he got back to the garage, Barrett was there.
Rain's little sister was special. She was a tall, gorgeous redhead. Their parents had been killed in an accident when Rain was 19 and Barrett was 14. He got custody of her, and they lived together until she went to college. When she got out and got her first job, she wanted her own place. She was a pharmacist, and she was making good money. Barrett loved her brother more than life. He had been her rock. The first years after they lost their parents had been difficult for her. She knew that Rain missed them just as much, but he kept that from her, spending time with a young teenage girl that she knew he could have spent with his friends. He had always been her best friend, and she depended on him in so many ways. She had her own place, and she took care of herself, but he was her safe zone, and he had always been there for her. Barrett had gone through a wild phase during her first years of college, and she knew that Rain didn't approve of many of the things she did. It hadn't taken her long to realize that her behavior was dangerous and self-destructive, and his disapproval had weighed heavily in her self-realization. He had watched over her, and never said a word, but she knew he had been disappointed in her. That uncomfortable time in their lives was long behind them, and it seemed to Barrett that she took care of him, these days, as much as he did her. She had been a little surprised when she came in and found Tabora and Mally, but she had instantly fallen in love with Mally, and it hadn't taken long for Tabora to charm her, either. She walked in, carrying the two pizzas, and Tabora helped her get them in the oven while they got acquainted. Barrett had gotten herself a soft drink and sat down on the sofa. Mally looked up at her from time to time and gave her a shy smile. That little face, framed by the glossy bouncing curls, was pulling at Barrett's heart. Mally, on her part, thought that Barrett was the most beautiful woman she had ever seen. She hadn't seen many people with hair like Barrett's, and she was fascinated. She wanted to touch it, but she was too shy. She glanced up at Barrett for about the third time, and Barrett patted her lap. That was all the invitation Mally needed. She brought her blanket and climbed onto Barrett's lap, snuggling down as Barrett wrapped her in comforting arms. She felt safe and warm, and the pizza was smelling delicious. Her stomach rumbled, and they both laughed. She took a strand of Barrett's hair in her little fingers and played with it. Barrett couldn't believe the emotions she found stirring in her heart as she held that little dusky angel. When big brown eyes, eyes that looked into her soul and trusted her, gazed into hers, she was lost.
"Are you hungry, Mally?" Barrett asked. "When was the last time you two ate?"
"Mama took me to a restaurant, and I got sausage and an egg and milk," Mally confided.
"We got breakfast in the town where we spent the night," Tabora said. "Our car started acting funny just before noon, and I was afraid to stop. Then it broke down, and so much happened we didn't have a chance to get anything."
Barrett patted Tabora's leg as she sat beside them and squeezed Mally.
"Well, as soon as that brother of mine gets here, we'll feed three hungry girls. I had a cupcake in the truck," Mally told her. "But the pizza smells really good."
They heard the garage doors open and the sound of the diesel engine of Rain's tow truck pulling in.
"He's here," Barrett announced.
She sat Mally back down on her pillow and waited for Rain. She came and gave him her usual big hug and kiss.
"Hey," she said. "I don't know where you found these two beautiful girls, bruh, but I'm so glad you did."
Rain could smell the pizza and realized he was hungry. Barrett, as usual, had forgotten to get Parmesan cheese, but they scrounged in the refrigerator and found some left from the last time a non-forgetful person picked up some pizza. They talked over dinner and found out that Tabora and Mally were from Saginaw, Michigan, that Tabora was 26, and that she was a school teacher. She had been teaching second grade. Barrett filled them in about her life and Rain showed them around the shop. He was working on a 1947 Ford 5-window coupe. He was putting the finishing touches on the engine, and the paint and interior were done. It was bright orange. He had about $40,000 in it, and he figured he'd get $75,000 to $90,000 for it, depending on how he sold it. The girls were impressed, and he sat Mally inside and took a picture with his Polaroid. She laughed delightedly when he gave it to her. She blew the horn a couple of times and turned around on the wheel. She was as cute as a bug in there, and she had a grand old time. It was time for Rain to see what he could do with Tabora's car. He popped the hood and the belts were old but intact. That meant the generator. He tested it and got nothing. He was getting ready to pull it when he noticed that the fusible link wire was burnt in two. That meant there could be deeper problems, but it was easily replaced. He had plenty and quickly replaced it. He called up for Tabora to throw him her keys, and she came out on the stair landing and tossed them down. He fired it up, and the boom coming from her radio shook everything in the shop. He knew what the problem was right away. The gauge went to discharge, and he knew the link was blown again. He turned the radio off and went looking for the amplifier. It was under the passenger seat, and there was a tin box under there. It was completely innocent, and he wasn't trying to snoop, but when he pulled it out to get to the amp, he dropped it, and the lid came open. $100 bills and a wicked little .380 spilled out into the floorboard. Rain was stunned for a minute. He picked everything up and put it back in the box. None of his business, he figured. He disconnected the amp, changed the link again, and dragged his tired ass up the stairs. The girls were watching The Great Grape Ape on TV, and Mally was eating a popsicle. She gave Rain a big smile, and he could see her purple tongue licking at that popsicle.
"I found the problem," he told them during the first commercial.
"How long have you had that amplifier, Tabora?"
She looked puzzled.
"Joey had it put in the day before we left," she said.
"Let me guess, you didn't play the radio until you were about 200 miles from here."
She nodded.
"Yes, I was just talking to Mally for most of the way. We decided to listen to some music just after we stopped for gas at Truth or Consequences.
Well, your amp is pulling too much juice, he said. I don't have a heavy enough link, and I don't think you have enough generator. Maybe you need one of the new alternators. What am I going to do? She asked.
Well, I can either disable your radio, or I can go to the parts store in the morning, get a heavier wire and an alternator with a little more juice.
What do you want to do?
I don't know, she said. We like having a stereo and we're going the long way. If you could take us to a motel, we could spend the night and we could do what you said tomorrow. Would that be too much trouble?
What do you think, baby? She was asking Mally.
Stay, she decided. I can take you somewhere, he said.
But why?
You can stay here. No use spending money on a motel when there's a perfectly good bed with clean sheets on it right here.
She looked doubtful.
Are you sure?
Positive, he said.
There are new toothbrushes and anything you need in the bathroom. I'll get out of your hair and we'll get an early start tomorrow.
Rain went down and got their bags out of the car, and he got a hug from each of them before he left. He hugged Barrett, too, and she stayed around to get them settled. His phone rang at 6:30 the next morning. It was Barrett.
Hey bruh, have you looked outside? She asked.
Christ, Barrett, I haven't gotten out of bed, he moaned. He pushed the curtain back and it was white out. Snow was coming down, and he couldn't see the street. He heard the wind howling and there was a real blizzard going.
Rain, you can't let those girls go today, she said.
I'm going to walk to work, but you come and get me as soon as I get off, okay?
We have to help them, Rain. That little girl is precious.
So is her mother. I stayed and they talked to me for an hour last night. They've had a rough time. They just need a break. Make them stay, Rain, or I'm never going to speak to you again. He chuckled.
I'll do my best, but I can't just make them stay, sis. I'll do my best. Call me when you want me to come get you.
When he was human, after a shower and a cup of coffee, he went down and got in the truck. When he opened the garage door, the wind and snow came whistling in. Rain could hardly see to drive, but he crept along about 30, stopping at the parts store and the donut shop on the way to the garage. When he got there, the lights were on and he could hear the shower running upstairs. He could smell coffee, but he didn't go up. He started on the car, and evidently, made enough noise that they heard him. He was reaching for the wire crimpers behind him, just feeling around, and he felt a tiny little hand put them in his big hand. He turned his head and Mally was standing behind him.
Good morning, Rain, she said. Are you fixing our car?
He stopped and sat down at the bench, cleaning his hands, and they talked.
Hi, sweetheart, he said.
Yeah, I didn't know if you girls were ready for company, so I just got started.
Mama is washing her hair, she said.
Do you like donuts? He asked. That curly little head bobbed and she looked hopefully over at the box. Let's take them upstairs and see if your mom wants one, okay? She nodded again, and when he picked up the box and started toward the stairs, she tucked that tiny little hand in his and walked beside him. He stopped when they got to the stairs.
These are too narrow for us to go up holding hands, he said.
Do you think I could hold you and carry you up?
Yes, I think you can, she said.
You're really big, Rain. He scooped her up and she giggled all the way. She didn't feel like she weighed 50 pounds. Tabora was fluffing up her hair with a towel and it was just a big mop of glossy curls.
Good morning, beautiful, Rain said.
He gave her a wink and she smiled.
Hi, Rain, she said.
What you got in that box?
Sugary goodness, he said.
I've got just plain donuts, that's what I like. I've got some with vanilla custard inside, raspberry jam, and some chocolate ones, with sprinkles.
Mally came over to look at the selection. She liked the ones with sprinkles, and she got one of those and one of the ones with the raspberry jam.
Rain had brought her a bottle of chocolate milk, and she snuggled Mama on the sofa while she ate and drank her milk. Tabora decided she wanted the vanilla custard-filled variety, and she and Rain drank coffee.
I got the parts,
Rain told her.
There's another issue though, Tabora.
What is it? There was some alarm in those huge brown eyes.
Did they not have something? Do you need money to get something?
No, we'll have the car ready to go in a couple of hours, he said. The problem is outside. When we finish our donuts, I'll take you and show you. There aren't any windows in here.
Tabora was concerned, but Rain didn't seem to be too worried, so she relaxed and ate the donut and thought about her situation. She was headed for California, but she wasn't sure where, exactly, just that she was going to put as much distance as possible between her and Mally, and Joey. She had another donut, and they finished their coffee. Rain carried Mally down the steps and took them to the small door at the front of the shop. When he opened the door, a blast of freezing air, swirling snow, and the howl of the wind took their breath away. Tabora shivered, instantly, and Mally shrunk into Rain's arms. He shut the door and the warmth of the shop was back.
There's the problem, Rain explained. There's a blizzard out there.
I'm sorry, Tabora, but you aren't going anywhere in that.
I could barely make it here, and I have a truck, crept along and my windshield was still building up ice and snow when I got here.
Oh no!
Tabora's dismay was obvious. What are we going to do? How long will this last?
I'm sorry, but I really have no idea, he said.
I haven't checked the forecast. There's probably 6 or 8 inches of snow out there, already, so even if it stops snowing soon, the roads will be a mess.
Mama, I don't want to go in the snow, Mally said.
Tabora rubbed her daughter's back, soothingly.
I know, baby. We won't go in the snow, okay?
Mally's curls bobbed as she nodded.
How soon do you need to be where you're going,
and do you mind telling me where you're going?
Rain asked. That was something that Tabora was not prepared to do. She looked up at him fearfully, and he saw the pain in her eyes. He quickly pulled her into a joint hug with him and Mally.
It's okay, he said. Don't worry about it. You can stay here as long as you like. It's okay, I promise.
Tabora felt very safe in that embrace, but she had felt safe before, only to discover that her trust was misplaced and betrayed. She was fleeing from one monster and had no intention of putting herself in a position to be betrayed again.
Rain, it's okay, I promise, he assured her. I just need to know if you have some deadline to meet. Do you have to be somewhere by a certain time? If not, the weather isn't a problem, you know?
She shook her head and all those curls flowed like a river across his chest.
No, we don't have to be anywhere on a schedule. Good, then you can just stay here and we'll wait out the storm, he said.
He decided to cheat.
That sound good to you, baby girl?
He asked Mally.
Yes, I like it here, Mally said. We need to stay with Rain, Mama, she said. Will Barret come back, Rain? How could she stay away from you? He asked.
No one in their right mind would miss out on spending time with you. She looked at him with serious eyes and kissed his cheek.
No, I guess they couldn't.
She dimpled up with a smile and laughed along with him. Tabora was not quite so sure as Mally, but she did feel that they were much better off inside, warm and dry, than they would be trying to drive through the blizzard. She really had no specific destination in mind, anyway, other than California. Any time spent on the way just gave her more time to think about what she was going to do, once they arrived. She told Rain she needed to use the phone to call Barret, so he set Mally down and the two went back up the stairs. Rain installed the new alternator. He had to alter the bracket, and it took him some time to do that. He'd also bought new belts, and he installed them, as well. By the time he finished, it was late afternoon, and he began to think about dinner. He headed upstairs to ask his guests about that. He knocked on the door, and Mally opened it, throwing herself on his leg and hugging it.
Hey, baby, he said. Rain is going to the store to get something for dinner. Do you and Mom like spaghetti?
They did. Mally turned to her mother.
Mama, may I go to the store with Rain?
Tabora was plainly not comfortable with this idea.
Do you need something at the store, honey?
Mally shook her head, curls swirling.
No, I just like being with Rain. Why don't all three of us go?
Rain tried to find some way to make it comfortable. His throat was a little choked up by the idea of Mally just wanting to be with him, and it made him need to clear it. Tabora heard that catch in his voice and sought his eyes. She saw how touched he was, immediately, and felt a little apprehensive, but in a good way.
No, I'll just stay and start some water boiling. You can go, honey.
Mally did a little dance step.
Thank you, Mama.
Rain went down to warm up the truck, and when it was toasty, he went back up. Mally was ready, but Rain felt a bit uncomfortable about her not having a coat. He decided to do something about that. There was a Sears store on the way to the grocery, and he made a quick stop.
Is this the store?
Mally asked as they pulled up.
No, baby doll, Rain said. They sell coats here. It's cold as, very cold and snowy, and you need a coat. Let's run in there and get you one, okay?
Mally thought for a moment.
Yes, Rain. What color will it be?
He laughed.
I don't know what colors they have. What color would you like for it to be?
She thought for a minute.
I like pink, she said. Of course you do.
We'll see if they have a pink one, okay? You won't be disappointed if they don't have one, will you?
Well, yes, but it's okay, she confided. Rain laughed, got out and held out his arms. She climbed across the seat and he wrapped her inside his coat, trotting toward the store hunched over like a turtle, he thought, sheltering her from the wind and the swirling snow. He set her down inside, and she tucked her little brown hand into his, walking beside him as he walked awkwardly beside her, having to bend to reach her hand. They found the children's section, and Mally was disappointed to find that the only pink coats they had were too small for her. Her little face lit up, though, when she found a black one with pink bunnies on it, and declared herself happy with that. Rain paid for it, they removed the tags and he zipped her up. She caught sight of herself in a full-length mirror on the way out and did another little dance.
I can't wait to show Mama, she said. And Barret.
Is Barret coming over?
Yes.
Thanks for reminding me, baby doll. We'll swing by and pick her up on the way back, okay?
Mally was good with that plan, and they made their stop at the grocery, swung by the pharmacy and went inside to get Barret. She was behind the window in her white coat, looking up over her glasses as the bell rang with the opening of the door. Mally spotted her and waved excitedly. Barret came out of the drug room and Mally ran to her, throwing herself into a hug and kissing her cheek.
Look, Barret.
She danced back so Barret could see. I got a new coat. Do you like it? Do I look pretty?
Barret snatched her up and squeezed her.
It's adorable, she said.
So are you.
You would make rags look beautiful, Mally.
Mally peeked at Rain.
I'm adorable, she said.
Rain laughed, removing her from Barret's arms and shifting her around to his hip.
Yes, you are.
You ready to go, sis?
We're having spaghetti.
Barret closed the store, and they drove slowly back through the snow to the garage. Tabora was waiting for them on the landing at the top of the stairs, somewhat worried about the length of time they'd been gone, fearing something with the weather had happened. She breathed a sigh of relief when she saw Mally between Rain and Barret, all safe and sound. Mally could hardly contain herself as she scrambled out after Rain.
Look, Mama. We got me a coat.
She called up excitedly. It has bunnies.
She mounted the stairs as quickly as he could and hugged her mother.
Yes, I see. Tabora knelt to admire the coat.
It's very nice and looks warm, baby.
Oh, it is warm, Mally said.
Rain, let me pick it out.
Tabora shot Rain a look.
You go on inside, she told Mally.
Rain, could I speak with you for a minute?
Mally and Barrett went inside the apartment, and Tabora and Rain stayed on the landing.
She hugged him, looking up at him with those huge brown eyes.
Thank you, Rain, she said. I don't want you to think I'm not grateful for everything you're doing for us, but I want to know how much you spent on Mally's coat, and the car, too.
I told you I have money and I'll pay you for everything.
Rain saw only honesty in her eyes.
I'll tell you how much the car parts cost, he said.
Mally's coat is a gift from me, to her. I know you're her mom, but she's a little person in her own right, and I got it for her because I wanted to and she needed it.
Is that okay? Tabora buried her face in his coat and hugged him.
Yes, thank you, Rain. He heard her soft voice.
They went inside and the smell of garlic bread filled the small apartment.
They ate dinner, just talking about general things until Barrett told them she had some news.
I think you'll like this, Tabora, she said.
I need to know a couple of things, though, and I think you need to tell Rain about how you got here, and why.
A look of panic crossed Tabora's face, and she started to get up from the table. Barrett beat her to her feet and quickly pushed her back into her chair.
She put her arm around the smaller woman, pulling Tabora's head against her shoulder.
Trust me, Tabora. Please. Rain is my big brother. I know him. He won't judge you, he won't hate you, he won't be mad at you.
Trust me, I know.
Please?
Tabora looked at her with wide doubt-filled eyes.
Okay, she half-whispered. Mama?
Mally was concerned.
It's okay, baby. Tabora reassured her.
Why don't you and Barrett see what's on TV and Mama will talk to Rain, okay?
Mally agreed, and she and Barrett were soon engrossed in a show. Tabora was at a loss as to where to begin. She did trust Rain, but some of what she needed to tell him was very embarrassing, and she felt like he would be disappointed in her. For some reason, she desperately did not want that. She would need to think about why later. Rain sensed her reluctance.
Just do it, Tabora, he said. I promise it's going to be okay.
Mally said you were running away?
What are you running from?
Tabora sighed.
Her father, she said.
We're running from her father.
What's wrong with him?
Rain asked.
Why would you need to do that?
Tabora sighed again, and the words came tumbling out. She had not been aware that she needed to tell someone so badly, to tell Rain, for some reason, to have him understand her, understand the mess she had made of her life.
His name is Joey, she said. I met him in college. He was a football player. I was an education major, and I was in some classes with him. He was so popular, Rain. He was very good looking, and he could be very charming when he wanted to be.
Rain leaned forward, resting his elbows on the table and watching her.
How old were you?
He asked.
I was 21, she said.
I was young and dumb, Rain. I'm still kind of young and dumb, but smarter than I was then.
Barrett joined them at the table.
She's asleep, she said, nodding at Mally.
Trust me, Tabora. We're all young and dumb at some point. You probably wouldn't believe the things I did at college. I was a terrible trial to Rain.
What about your parents, Tabora? Are they around?
I never knew my father, Tabora said. Mom told me about him, and I've seen a few pictures. He was a white guy she met at the factory. He got her pregnant and moved on.
I'm so sorry, Rain said.
He must have been a real asshole.
Who knows? Tabora said.
Mom wasn't much of a mother either. She's still around, but she's a drunk, and I haven't spoken to her since before Mally was born. I didn't want Mally around her.
Barrett took one of Tabora's slender brown hands in hers.
So, what happened with Joey? She asked.
I fell in love with him, Tabora said.
At least I thought I was in love with him. I know now that I was just crushing on him because he seemed so impressive.
It was all hollow. I didn't find that out until later. A month before I graduated, I found out I was pregnant. I didn't mean for that to happen. I never meant to sleep with him at all. We went to this party, and we were all high. There was a lot of weed around, and I dropped a tab of acid.
She looked nervously at Rain.
We were all doing it, he said calmly. Especially Barrett.
He grinned at his sister who blushed.
Young and dumb, she said.
Well, I was tripping pretty good, Tabora said. It just seemed like such a beautiful thing, and I just did it.
After that, we did it all the time. I wasn't very smart, and I got pregnant.
Did you get married? Rain asked.
No, that's one dumb thing I didn't do, Tabora said.
I was beginning to see the cracks in Joey's persona by then. He was all about the flash. Things got bad between us. We were living together by then. I had my first teaching job, but he'd flunked out of college and he couldn't keep a job.
She was becoming more agitated, and Barrett moved her chair around until she could put her arm around Tabora's shoulders.
Stay strong, she said.
Tabora nodded and brushed a tear from one cheek.
He started hitting me.
He, like, enjoyed hurting me. He hurt me, sexually.
I guess it made him feel powerful.
She looked fearfully at Rain.
I didn't want that, Rain.
You have to believe me.
He nodded.
I know, he said calmly. I can't imagine how that made you feel.
It just made me feel dirty and ashamed.
A sob escaped Tabora, and Barrett squeezed her.
What happened?
He started doing things, nasty things, to me, in front of his friends. Showing me to them. Telling them I was his whore. He.
She broke down, unable to continue. Rain was unable to contain himself. He had been growing angrier by the moment. How could anyone, any man, hurt this little brown angel? He leaped to his feet, moved around the table, picked up the sobbing girl in his arms, indicated that Barrett should follow them with his head and carried her into the bedroom. He laid her down, lying on one side of her while Barrett laid on the other. They sandwiched her between them, holding her as she sobbed out her shame and misery.
Finish the story. He told her gently. Get it out. Tell us.
Her voice broke as she spoke, but she managed to tell them.
He wanted me to let them do things to me. Fuck me. He was going to make them pay, turn me into a whore. I couldn't. I knew that would destroy me. He beat me up, put me in the hospital. I was too afraid to tell the police. He had Mally. He was selling drugs, and I was afraid.
Rain pulled her over until her cheek was on his chest, her mop of curls tickling his chin, and Barrett spooned her from the other side.
What did you do?
Barrett asked.
When I got out of the hospital, I knew I had to do something. She said. I waited until he went out with some of his boys, took his money and his gun, put Mally in the car and started driving. You know the rest.
Where are you going?
Barrett asked.
I don't have anywhere to go.
It came out in a sob of quiet desperation. I was just getting away. As far away from him as I could be. I was going to California, try to start over. Just be safe and keep Mally safe.
Barrett pulled her off Rain and kissed her cheek.
Remember I told you I had some news? She said.
Listen to me, Tabora. You do have somewhere to go. You're here. This is a safe place. I talked to Father Peter at the pharmacy, today. St. Paul's is looking for a first grade teacher. I told him about you. He wants to talk to you.
Does it have to be California?
Tabora looked at Barrett and burst into hysterical sobbing. Both siblings were stunned and could only hug the sobbing form between them. Barrett petted the mop of curls, trying to calm her.
What's wrong, honey? She asked.
I thought that was good news. When she could speak again, Tabora nodded.
It is. It's very good news, and I'm so thankful, Barrett. I never dreamed. I love you guys so much. You're being so nice to us.
It's just, white people have never been very nice to me and I never dreamed. Being nice doesn't have anything to do with white or black.
Rain growled. I hate that shit. You're a person. We're people.
Mally is a person. Good God, Tabora, she's the sweetest little person I've ever met. How could we not be nice?
So are you.
I'm planning to be nice to you both for a long time, so get used to it, okay?
Tabora nodded, making her curls bounce, and sniffled.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barrett. I need a tissue.
She gave a watery laugh. I'm a mess. I need to go to the bathroom and pull myself together.
She sat up, Rain stood and helped her to her feet, and she went into the bathroom. When she came out, she was much more composed, and they returned to the kitchen where they could keep an eye on Mally.
Barrett made coffee and they discussed options.
Tabora, do you think you might be interested in the job at St. Paul's?
Rain asked. She nodded, curls flaring around her face.
Yes, I'm very interested. I really didn't have a plan about anything, just getting away.
I really don't know how much money I have. I just took Joey's box.
I think I can live for a while, and I was hoping I have enough to get a place to live and support myself until I got a job.
You have a place to stay.
Rain said. You can stay here.
Tabora stood, came around the table and hugged him. Her lips were warm and soft on his cheek when she kissed him.
Thank you, Rain. If it won't be awful for you, I would like to stay for a while, just until I get settled. One place is as good as another.
California just sounded warm.
Barrett laughed.
Well, this isn't a warm place, at the moment, but we don't always have a blizzard.
Tabora chuckled. She remained standing beside Rain, pressed against his side, and he was quite conscious of her warmth and the soft curve of her hip pressed against him.
I will want to find my own place, eventually, when, if I get the job. I wouldn't like imposing on you, long term.
I don't think he minds, Barrett said.
But I understand. I have my own place, even though I think Rain would have been happy for me to live with him, forever.
I would have been, Rain said.
Hey, I understand though. Everyone needs to do their own thing. It's going to be a few days anyway. I doubt they have school or church until the weather lets up, anyway.
Say, why do they need a teacher in the middle of the school year, Barrett?
Remember Julie Granger?
Barrett asked.
It's Julie Cantrell, now.
She married Garen.
Yes, I remember.
She was a year ahead of you in school, right?
Rain said.
2 years.
Barrett said.
Anyway, she's pregnant, taking a maternity leave, and she's not coming back. They need to replace her.
Rain had been feeling Tabora shifting nervously against him, and he draped his arm around her waist.
She cleared her throat nervously, and he could tell she wanted to say something, but was hesitant.
What?
He looked up at her.
Well, I know you guys said black and white don't matter to you, but it does to some people.
Are there black kids who go there?
How would the school feel about hiring a black teacher for that position?
Rain sighed.
No, I don't think there would be any black kids.
There aren't a lot of black people in this town, Tabora.
That's a good thing, and a bad thing.
We don't have a lot of the tension going on that the big cities have. And I think you'd be more of a sort of minor celebrity, rather than anything else, but I have no doubt that there will be some prejudice around, too.
Think you can handle that?
Yeah, I'm kind of used to that, she said. She laughed. Not the minor celebrity part.
Does the priest know I'm black? She asked Barrett.
Oh, I'm not Catholic either.
Well, do you think you can handle being in a Catholic school? Not cause any problems with what they teach? Barrett asked.
And yes, I told him you were black.
Oh, I don't have any problem with that, Tabora said. I've gone to church all my life, just not to a Catholic church. I'm not going to be teaching religion, right?
Barrett laughed. No, sweetheart, but they do have chapel and things like that.
That's fine, Tabora said.
Tabora was excited about her job prospects, and at peace with herself and her situation. For the first time in a long time, she felt like she had people to depend on in Rain and Barrett. She was now even considering her car problems as a blessing, rather than an unfortunate circumstance. She now had two friends, sort of odd white friends, but they seemed to like her and they were certainly willing to help her and Mally. She decided she would see where this road went. She believed she could come to be best friends with Barrett. She loved the tall redhead, and the way she had been taken in, supported and cared for by kind people who had been strangers just 2 days earlier. She desperately needed stability, both for herself and Mally, and these people were rocks. She had emotional feelings about Rain. She was going to have to consider those and what it meant for her. Mally was totally in love with them, and that meant a very great deal to Tabora.
When Mally woke up, they popped popcorn and played a board game. The adults had a wonderful time helping that little angel count, rolled dice, and found themselves completely under her spell. They cleaned up, washed the dishes, and Rain and Barrett went home, each thoroughly hugged by a little brown angel. Rain could feel Barrett's eyes on him as he drove carefully through the blowing snow. He was trying to concentrate on his driving, but she was distracting him.
Okay, what? He finally asked. Rain, why aren't you married?
She asked. He sputtered for a moment, the question catching him off guard, and finding that he had no answer.
Why aren't you? He asked. I haven't found the right guy, she said.
Well, same, he said. She snorted, and he realized what he'd said.
Jesus, Barrett, you know what I meant.
She continued to snort for a minute, finding the control to say.
Oh no. You don't get to copy my reason. You have to come up with your own. I haven't really thought about it, he finally said. At first I had you. I needed to take care of you and make sure you were okay, and I was trying to work to put food on our table, finish school and get you through your schooling. Then I got my business going, and I concentrated on that. I date, you know that. I guess I'm waiting until I find someone who matches up to my little sis.
He pulled into her driveway as he finished speaking, and she slid across and snuggled against him for a minute.
Love you, bruh, she said. I know how much you sacrificed for me. I'm grateful. You know, Tabora would be perfect for you.
Once again, he found himself sputtering.
What the hell, Barrett? We just met. What's wrong with you?
She has other things on her plate.
Why would you even say that? She laughed. She likes you, I can tell. She's gorgeous, educated, and she comes with the most adorable little girl I've ever seen. You like her too? Tell me you don't.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you that. He grinned at his little sister.
What I'm going to tell you is, mind your own business, Barrett. I'll be hooking you up with some of my friends if you don't. She laughed.
Not if you want to keep them as friends, she said.
Remember how well that worked out with Clark?
Yeah, well, he was an asshole, he said.
Sorry, I didn't know that, Barrett.
She hugged him and gathered her things.
No one did, she said. Pick me up in the morning?
Yep. She climbed out and hurried through the snow. He watched her go inside and went home. As he drove, he mulled over their conversation. He did like Tabora, very much, he realized. She was absolutely gorgeous. She was depending on him, making her vulnerable. But it was her bravery that made the biggest impression on him. She had the courage to take herself and her daughter, set out across the country with no prospects, just her own resources, and try to make a new life for them, a safe life without the dangerous asshole her ex evidently was in it. He knew very well what it was to face an uncertain future with the responsibility of having someone else to consider. He'd been in much the same position, but not with all the malevolent specter of that monster they'd left behind. He knew she'd be a little broken, very cautious and hesitant to trust, and he would just be patient, be her friend, help her in any way he could and see what happened. *** Across town, Mally was sleeping, and Tabora was in the shower. Her thoughts seemed random to her, just swirling in the events that had overtaken her. Her sense of overwhelming fear and dread had lessened with every mile she put between her and Joey, and she and Mally had been just drifting, looking over the horizon for opportunities. The car breaking down had felt devastating, at the time, but that's how they had met Rain. He had made a huge impression on her. He was huge. He made her feel tiny, but she also felt protected, and that was something she'd never felt with Joey. She liked the feeling. She also found that she desperately wanted him to like her, not to be disappointed in her, and she didn't fully understand why. She found him very attractive, and that surprised her, too. She'd never been attracted to a white man, never been on a date with one, and hardly knew any. Certainly, she didn't know any like Rain. Mally had obviously fallen in love with him, and regarded him with all the awe in her little heart. She got out of the shower and dried off with a big fluffy towel. They were safe, and she'd just have to see what fate had in mind. She looked at herself in the mirror. She knew how she looked, but she eyed herself critically. She fluffed up her hair and moisturized it. She wanted a hair cap, but she didn't have one. The towel would have to do.
Her hair was a mop of curls, hanging to her shoulder blades in the back. If she stretched it or straightened it, it reached to her butt. She wound it up in the towel. With her hair up, she had a broad forehead. She had always thought her head was ridiculously large for her body. Her cheekbones were high, her eyes huge and tilted up toward the outside corners. Her little nose was slender, and her mouth was wide, full lips looking like soft pillows. She eyed her body critically. Her neck was long and graceful. Her breasts weren't large, but more than a handful. Her ribcage arched and her waist was tiny, flaring out into slim hips. She turned in her butt was her best feature, she decided, or maybe her legs. She exercised regularly, and it showed. She laughed at herself, mocking her own narcissism. She pulled on her panties and went to bed, crawling in beside Mally, snuggling that warm little body close to her own. The world felt right, and she drifted off. The next morning, the snow had stopped falling and the sun was shining, though pale and feeble. Rain was up and tightening the new belts on her car when she dressed, and there was a box of donuts on the kitchen table. The phone rang, and Rain called up that it was for Tabora. She had no idea who would be calling her, and felt a little trepidation in answering. To her relief, it was Barrett, and she said that Father Peter could see her at 10 o'clock, if she could make it. Barrett left her a phone number and Tabora got Mally up and dressed, taking her down to talk to Rain, her jelly donuts still in hand.
Hey, beautiful. Rain greeted her.
Morning, sweetheart. Mally needed a hug, and Rain knelt to give her one.
Rain, I have an interview at 10 o'clock. Tabora said. Do you think my car's ready to drive?
Yeah, I'm all done with it. He said. But there are still some snowy and icy patches out there.
I'd feel a lot better if you took my truck until they have time to work on the streets some.
Are you sure? Tabora was reluctant.
Positive, he said.
You weren't planning to do any racing, were you?
That made Mally giggle, and Tabora relaxed.
I hate to bother you, but do you think Mally can stay with you while I'm gone? I don't know what else to do.
Watch out, think, Angel? Rain asked.
Think I can handle you?
Yes, I'd be good.
She promised. She was actually quite excited about the prospect of staying with Rain. While Tabora was getting ready, Rain made a couple of phone calls, and when she left, he sent Mally to get her coat.
We're going to take your car and get a couple of things done to it, he told her.
They drove carefully to a tire shop, and Rain had the tires replaced and the front end aligned. He took Mally to lunch at a little diner, and she chattered at him, filling his ears with her sweet little voice while they drove and waited for their order. She held his hand any time they walked, and Rain loved the feeling of that tiny brown hand in his. She really was just a baby. She had tiny dimples on the backs of her hands over each knuckle, and her arms and thighs still had little creases of baby fat. Rain had never been around children that much, and he found her enchanting. Tabora was back when they got home, and didn't notice her new tires until Mally told her where they had been.
We went to get tires, and Rain got me a cheeseburger and a chocolate malt, she confided.
Tabora looked at Rain and he saw that she was embarrassed about him buying her tires.
You can pay me back when you get your first paycheck, he said. You are going to get a paycheck, right?
Oh, yes. I got the job. She was very excited.
Everyone was really nice to me, and I start on Monday.
Rain scooped her up in his embrace, swinging her around with her feet off the floor while she laughed helplessly.
Of course you did, and of course they were. We gotta celebrate.
He said. He sat her down and snatched up Mally.
You wanna go out to eat, Angel?
She did, and they made arrangements for Barrett to pick them up in her car when she got off work. The next few weeks flew by in a blur for Tabora. Getting acclimated at work took all her attention, and she was delighted to discover that the church had a daycare where Mally could go. She rode to school with her mother in the morning, and Rain picked her up after lunch. She spent the afternoons with him, and they had formed a strong bond. Rain was the gentle father figure she had never experienced, and she bonded to him closely. Tabora was settling in and becoming acquainted with her colleagues at school. She became friends with the third grade teacher, Miss Collins, Debbie, to Tabora, and the PE teacher, Mr. Garner, Steve. They ate lunch together, and she felt like she was fitting in very well. Tabora, Mally, Rain, and Barrett ate dinner together nearly every night, and Barrett felt like the sister she never had. Tabora felt like she had a family, but she was a little uncomfortable with continuing to live at the garage. When she started looking for an apartment, after 3 months, Rain was dismayed. She told him she was looking and he asked her why.
This isn't working out for you? He asked.
No, Rain, no, it isn't anything like that, she said. I love being here, and Mally loves it, too, but I feel like I need to get my own place, be independent, make my own life.
This is your place, and I'm so grateful that you let us stay here.
They were standing in front of one of his workbenches in the garage where he had been working, with Mally sitting in a comfy chair he had dragged up for her. Tabora walked close to Rain.
I want you to know that Mally and I will always love you, Rain. What you did for us, it's just more than I ever expected. I don't want you to be disappointed, but we need to find our own place, be able to be on our own and take care of ourselves. Do you understand?
He looked down into her huge brown eyes, looking up at him beseechingly, asking for his understanding. She stepped forward, wrapping her arms around him and burying her face in his chest. He held her to him, enjoying her softness against him.
Yeah, I guess I do understand, Tabora, he said. It was kind of the same thing with Barrett when she got her own place. I'd have been happy for her to live with me forever, but she's her own person and she makes her own decisions.
She nodded into his chest.
Yes, that's how I feel. It's not that I don't like being here,
We just need to be our own people.
Rain and Barrett helped her look for a place, and Barrett knew a couple who had several rental properties. One was vacant and one would be in 2 weeks. The owner showed them through the places, and Tabora liked the ones that was about to be open much better than the one that was already empty. She put down a deposit and everything was set. Barrett was very happy for Tabora, but growing impatient with her brother. She loved Rain with all her heart, but he could be so clueless sometimes. She could tell that both Rain and Tabora had strong feelings for each other, but it was obvious to her that Rain needed a shove in the right direction. She knew he was going to be home that Saturday afternoon, so she dropped by his house. He was drinking beer and watching a college football game.
"Hey, sis," he said when she came in. "Come to watch some football with Big Brother?"
"Oh, yes," she feigned delight. "You know how much I love watching fat guys trying to push each other around.
It's almost as good as wrestling."
Rain laughed. He patted the sofa beside him and Barrett snuggled into him.
"Just came by to hang out with me?" he asked.
"Not that I mind."
"No, well, yes and no,"
she said.
"Oh, well, that clears things up."
Rain laughed. "Glad we got that straightened out." She gave him a pinch. "You know I'll hang out with you anytime I get the chance, but I want to tell you something, too." He took a drink of his beer. She took it from him and took a drink, too, handing it back.
"I want one," she said.
She got up, went and got herself a beer. Rain drank only Ballantine IPA. She liked the hoppy taste. She settled in again and drew a breath.
"Bruh, I need to ask you something. How do you feel about Tabora?"
"What do you mean?" he asked.
"She's amazing. You know what her life has been like. She's here, fighting against everything that's been thrown at her. I respect the hell out of her."
"Is that what you're asking?"
"No, it isn't," Barrett said.
"I mean, she's going to be staying in your garage for 2 more weeks. You have 2 weeks to get off your ass and ask her out." Rain didn't know whether to be offended or amused.
"What makes you think she'd go out with me, and what makes you think I'd ask?"
"Hey, this is me you're talking to," she said.
"You can't snow me, Rain. I see the way you look at her, and I see the way she looks at you, when she thinks no one is watching. She is gorgeous, Rain. She's sweet, funny, she is an amazing person, like you said, and if you don't lock her down, do you think there won't be a trail of guys following her around?"
Rain laughed.
"No, I imagine every single guy she meets has impure thoughts. Do you really think she'd go out with me?"
"I know she would, but you're never going to know if you don't ask her, are you?
Were you going to ask her?"
"Jesus, Barrett. She's grateful that we helped her. She trusts me.
I didn't want to make her feel weird or pressured. She's living in my place and I thought it would be sort of, I don't know, like not good, to make a move on her."
"Ask her," Barrett said.
"Trust me. Have I ever steered you wrong?"
"Yes, hundreds of times."
Rain laughed. "Remember when you set me up with Alicia Thornton?"
Barrett blushed.
"Yeah, sorry about that, bruh. I'm not steering you wrong now, though. Ask her."
He did. At dinner that night, he maneuvered her down into the garage, away from Mally and Barrett, and dove in.
"Tabora," he began. "I want to ask you something. I don't want you to feel pressured or anything, you know, because you think you owe me, or something, but well, I just want you to know how much I admire you. You have something, spunk, I don't know what to call it. I want you to know that I love Mally so much. I am going to miss having her around here. That little angel is special, and I know why. It's because her mother is a really special lady."
He noticed a flush on her face. It was just a little pink glow, but it made her look adorable.
"Thanks, Rain," she said. "I don't understand, though. Why would that make me feel pressured?"
He laughed.
"Well, that wouldn't, but what I'm about to ask you might. I've gotten to know you pretty well. I love everything about you, and I want to ask you on a date."
Her eyes, those exotic eyes, tilted up at the outside corners and golden brown, flew to his, searching his soul, he felt.
"Okay, ask me," she said.
She started giggling and made a little snort. That set him off, and they laughed together.
"Tabora, will you go on a date with me?"
"Yes," she said.
"When will we go? What about Mally? You want to take her on our date?"
he asked. "No, silly, although that would be fun, sometime, but not our first date."
Rain's heart thumped in his chest.
That sounded like there would be more than one. "What about her, then? What will I do with her?"
"Oh, I was gonna ask Barrett if Mally could stay with her," he said.
"That would be perfect," she said. "When will we go?"
"I was thinking Friday night," he said. "I'll check with Barrett and see if she's free."
She was, and Mally was very excited at the prospect of staying with Barrett. She was nearly as excited by the fact that her mother was going on a date with Rain. She was completely in love with Rain, and that two of her three favorite people were going on a date, while she got to stay with the third seemed perfect to her. She was a little jealous, though.
"Mama, I want to go on a date with Rain," she said.
"Can I?"
He scooped her up and crushed her in a hug.
"You absolutely are going to go on a date with me, baby doll," he assured her.
"Mama and Rain are going on a date Friday night. How about you and me go on a date Saturday?"
she squealed with excitement.
"Can I, Mama?"
"Yes, honey. I'm sure it will be the best date Rain has ever had,"
Tabora said. Rain glanced at Barrett, and she gave him a wink. ... When Rain showed up at the garage on Friday, he got out and started for the stairs. The apartment door opened and Mally came tripping down the stairs to greet him. He scooped her up and kissed both cheeks. He was still holding her when Tabora appeared on the landing.
He felt his breath catch in his throat. Mally felt it, too, and turned to see what had distracted him.
Mama has a new outfit, she said. I like it. She's beautiful, huh, Rain?
She started down the stairs and Rain thought she was poetry in motion. He nuzzled Mally's curls.
Yes, baby girl. Your mother is very beautiful.
Tabora got that peach blush and her eyes glowed. Her skirt was one of the minis. It was a tight blue wraparound, and she had on a form-fitting white spaghetti strap top that gave a peak of brown skin between it and the waistband of the skirt. She was filling both the top and the skirt out in a way that made it hard for Rain to breathe.
You and Mama are twins,
Mally said. Rain had on dark blue slacks and a white ribbed collarless shirt. Both Rain and Tabora laughed.
I guess we are, he said.
Except she's little and you're big, Mally added. Barrett came in to collect Mally, just then, and she grinned. Look at you, Toe, she said.
Mmm, Tabora. You look yummy.
And look at you, bruh. All cleaned up, and stuff. She glanced at Mally to see if she'd caught the almost slip. She seemed oblivious, and they walked Mally out to Barrett's car. She got a kiss from Rain and her mother, and she and Barrett left. Finally, I have you alone, he told Tabora. She laughed.
Well, you better behave yourself, big boy.
Where are we going?
We're going to Ramon's for dinner first, he said.
He walked her to the truck and opened the door for her. She got in, and a look at her butt in that tight dress nearly brought Rain to his knees. The flash of those gorgeous brown thighs as she seated herself almost completed his destruction. He knelt beside her for a moment.
You look stunning, he said.
Thanks for going out with me, Tabora. He rummaged around behind the seat and came out with a white rose, which he gave her. The florist told me a white rose is a symbol of hope and new beginnings, he said. It's both from me to you. Her eyes were glistening as she reached out one small hand, running her fingers through his hair behind his head. She tugged and pulled his head toward her, offering him her lips. It was the first time, and Rain tasted them, exploring the plush softness. Tabora was lost in the sensation. Never had she felt such tenderness and gentleness in a kiss. It went on until she was breathless, then Rain pulled away. He cleared his throat and started to speak, but she put her fingers on his lips, shushing him.
Feed me, she said.
He nodded, and they left. The nervousness they both felt was gone with that kiss, and when they arrived at the restaurant, he opened her door. She got out and immediately tucked herself against him, sliding one slender arm around his waist. He put one heavy arm over her shoulders and they walked in like that. It seemed to Rain like she never lost contact with him. She sat in the booth she asked for, right against him. She held his hand when he wasn't using it, and her hand often rested on his leg when she wasn't using it. Tabora was relishing the physical contact. She had been starving for affection for a while, and she felt so tiny against the huge man beside her. She loved that feeling, and it made her feel protected and cherished. She had never felt that with Joey, and she never wanted it to end. They finished dinner, just talking about anything and everything that came into their heads. Tabora told him about growing up in Michigan, going to college, about Mally's birth and short life. Rain told her about losing his parents, about life with Barrett as they both struggled to grow up and make their own lives after their parents' deaths. After dinner, they drove to a place called Whiskey Dick's. It was a nightclub and there was a band playing. They both ordered drinks. Rain had an old-fashioned, and Tabora had a margarita. They finished one drink, just talking companionably. Rain kept his arm around her, and his fingers idly explored the smooth brown skin of her bare shoulders. She felt like satin under his fingers. Once when his fingers dipped into the little hollow between her collarbone and neck, she shivered, took his big hand and cupped her cheek into it. They ordered another drink and he asked her if she would like to dance. Tabora loved to dance, and Rain discovered he had a dynamo on his hands. He had never considered himself a good dancer, but she certainly was. It was a fast song, the band playing a song from the movie Shaft. Tabora put on a show, and Rain felt as if he was the eye of a hurricane as she wove him into her web of motion. He could see that nearly every eye in the place was glued to this amazing sprite doing her nature dance. She was completely unself-conscious, and those legs, appearing impossibly long in that short skirt, were so athletic and beautiful he just wanted to stand and watch her. The song ended and he watched her sway to a stop, her eyes shining up at him. The band started a new song. This was a cover of the new Carole King song, So Far Away. The band had a female singer, and she was very good. Rain pulled Tabora into his arms and they moved together, her cheek against his chest, her mop of curls tickling his chin. She felt soft and small against him, and she pressed herself into the contact. He could feel her breasts, and he began to become aroused. She felt it, and tilted her head up, smiling at him before breaking eye contact and snuggling in closer, if that was possible. As the song played, he bent his head, and with his head close to her ear, he said, I'm glad you aren't far away, Tabora. She stood on tiptoe to kiss him. Me too, she said against his lips. They finished their drinks, danced a few more dances, and he took her home. She slid over against him and stayed there until he got out to open the garage door. Barrett was there, and Mally was already asleep. Rain walked Tabora to the landing, and they kissed passionately for a long time. Thank you, Rain, for the wonderful time, she said. Will you go out with me again next Friday? He asked. Yes, anytime you asked me, she said, that peach glow suffusing her cheeks again. She went inside and after a few minutes, Barrett came out. Rain walked her to her car. She stopped at the door. Well, was I wrong? She said.
No, you were absolutely on the money, he said. You should always listen to me. She crowed. Are you going out again? Did you make a fool of yourself? Did you kiss her? We are, of course I did, and that's none of your business. He grinned at her. You did. She was quite excited. I'll watch Mally anytime, Rain. He embraced his beautiful sister. You're a great kid, Barrett. He told her. She chuckled. I know. Night, bruh. Love you. He kissed her. Love my sis. He said. Night.
Chapter 02
Once again, my thanks to my team. Hardisk Knight is my mentor and gives me critical review. S-Brooks 103X reads for me, as well. My editors are Nora Fares, Hal, George Anderson, Gerlint the Moon and Pixel the Cat. Thanks to you all for all you do, Randy Barrett and Mally were at Barrett's house. This had become their Friday routine. Barrett picked up Mally from the house she and her mother now occupied. They went somewhere for dinner, then back to Barrett's house. They popped popcorn, Barrett made caramel and they had caramel popcorn and played games or watched TV. Mally really didn't care what they did, as long as she got to spend time with Barrett. Barrett felt the same, so they were quite content. The reason for their frequent time together was that Rain, Barrett's brother, and Tabora, Mally's mother, went on dates on Friday nights. To Mally's eternal delight, they often also went on Saturday nights, taking her with them, and on Sunday evening, Mally went out with Rain by herself. She was undecided which she liked the best, but she was most satisfied when all four of them were together. She had quickly adopted Barrett as her auntie, and she regarded Rain as the father she'd never had. Memories, bad ones, she had of her biological father had quickly become just disquieting ghosts that seldom crossed her mind. Tabora's memories were more vivid, but it was likely that anyone who had seen the frightened woman, on the run from a monster, saving herself and her daughter, would hardly have recognized her, after 6 months. Rain certainly appreciated the change. It was midsummer, they were at Cabala Lake State Park, and she was standing on the grass in front of him, dancing. Rain had brought his portable radio, they had a cooler, now considerably emptier than it had been when they came, since they had eaten the food and drank several of the beers, and they were mellow. He turned on the radio and Tabora was drawn irresistibly to her feet. Her mop of glossy curls was wild and her eyes shone as she lifted her arms over her head, her tight little body swaying to the rhythm of Aretha Franklin's Spirit in the Dark. She had on a red tube top and denim shorts, so short that pockets showed below the frayed remnants of the legs. Rain felt like his eyes bulged every time she turned her back to him and shook that fantastic ass, a hint of round cheek showing below her shorts. All those brown glorious dancers' legs were on display and her tiny feet were in platform sandals. They had been spending as much time together as they could, between her school and his latest project car he was building. Rain found himself missing her every moment they were apart. Her personality had blossomed, showing the intelligence, humor and quick wit she had. She teased him unmercifully, and she took it as well as she dished it out. Other than Barrett, he realized that she was the best friend he'd ever had. She was also an enchanting little gypsy, and being close to her made his heart pound. He knew she'd been broken, hurting and afraid when he found her in that car dealership, and he'd been going slow, at a glacial pace, and she came to trust, like and then love him. She was very physical with him, staying in contact, touching him with her little hands that were constantly in motion, molding her body against his at every opportunity, and he felt that she was completely comfortable with him. For her part, Tabora was completely in love with this gentle, huge, kind and handsome white boy in a way she had never dreamed was possible. She had been frightened at the intensity of her feelings the first time they kissed, but that had long since passed, when Aretha sang the words, "You feel like dancing? Get up and let's start dancing." She beckoned to him. He grinned and got to his feet. She swayed into him as he circled her with his arms. He pulled her in and they swayed together, her cheek against his chest and her mop of curls tickling his chin. When the song ended, he scooped her up in his arms as she squealed a mock protest, carrying her to the picnic table and sitting on the bench with her on his lap. She squirmed around until she was facing him, her hands locked behind his head and her legs straddling his. "I can't tell you how beautiful you are," he said. She dimpled up. "Try," she said with a trill of laughter. "That's something I can listen to all day." He laughed, touching her little button nose with the knuckle of his index finger. "If your head gets any bigger, it won't fit in the truck." She giggled, tilting her head and gazing into his eyes. The smile slowly faded and a different look stole over her features as she saw something. She leaned toward him and he pulled her in, his hand on the back of her neck under her hair. Her lips parted slightly, and he saw her little pink pointed tongue moisten her plush lips. They were alive against his, and he felt that tongue against his lips, seeking admittance. The kiss went on for hours, it seemed, and they were both breathless when it ended. "Tabora, I need to tell you something." He looked serious.
"What?"
she asked.
"Well, I kinda need to ask you something too. You're my girl, right?"
She leaned in, hiding her face against him, and he felt her nod.
"Yes, I am, Rain. I want to be. Do you want me to be?"
"Very much," he said. He pushed her back until he could see her face. He took her little pointed chin and tilted her head back until she was looking in his eyes.
"I love you, Tabora. Did you know that? I thought you did,"
she said softly.
"I love you, Rain. I have for a long time now."
He smiled at her.
"I was hoping you might feel that way. I thought you did, but I needed to be sure. I'm going to tell you all the time, now. You should get used to it."
She nodded then smiled.
"Every damn day,"
she said. more than once a day. He said. I don't mean that I just love you today, or this week, I mean like forever.
He watched as she seemed to struggle. Her eyes became liquid and two big tears started down her cheeks. He pulled her into his embrace.
Why are you crying, baby?
He asked.
I thought you'd be happy.
I am. Her reply was muffled.
I cry when I'm really, really happy, Rain. I'm just so emotional.
I never thought. Mally and me, we're just so lucky, Rain. You, Barrett, my job, everything is just so perfect. I never dreamed we'd find anything like this. Rain discovered that his own eyes were moist, and he found it difficult to speak. He cleared his throat.
Well, you deserve to be happy, Tabora.
So does Mally.
How anyone could, everyone who knows you has to love you. Believe me, you're very easy to love.
She leaned back and looked at him.
Let's go back to your house, call Barrett and ask if Mally can spend the night.
She said.
Are you sure?
He asked. I mean, God knows I want to. I have since about the second I met you, but I don't want. Her finger across his lips shushed him.
I've never been sure of anything.
She said.
Take me home, Rain.
The drive home was filled with building tension. Tabora was plastered against him the entire time, and she stayed that way when they got out, sliding across under the wheel and getting out his door. She walked with him to close the garage, and then back into the house.
Go pour us a glass of wine, and I'll put on some music.
He told her. He heard her talking on the phone to Barrett as he thumbed through his albums. He chose Simon and Garfunkel's
Bridge Over Troubled Water,
and Joe Cocker's
Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Dropping the first, and as the guitar started,
The Boxer.
He went to the kitchen. Tabora was pouring wine, and she gave him a smile. He walked up behind her, pressing against her, making her step forward against the counter, his hands on her waist, fingers nearly wrapping around her slenderness. He nuzzled her curls, taking in the scent of her floral conditioner or shampoo. She sat down the wine bottle and looked up at him. God, she was gorgeous, he thought. He licked her ear, causing her to shiver, then kissed his way down her neck to the declivity where her smooth brown skin made a hollow between her bare shoulder and her collarbone. She got goosebumps and turned her face, offering him her lips. He turned her around, cupping her butt in his hands and lifting her against him until their faces were on a level, her legs wrapping around his hips. They kissed, and Tabora could feel her heart racing wildly, also feeling the beating of Rain's heart against her breasts. It went on a very long time, and he finally set her down. She handed him his wine glass and took her own.
We should have a toast,
she said with a giggle. He raised his glass and they clinked them together.
To my dusky little goddess,
he said. She smiled.
To my man.
He put his arm around her shoulders and they walked to the living room, her hip bumping purposefully against him. Finishing their wine, they sat the glasses down and danced, just pressed into each other, only swaying to the music. Her eyes shone up at him.
Make love to me, Rain,
she whispered.
I'm afraid. Please don't hurt me.
That nearly made him cry, and he held her tightly.
I'll never hurt you, he said. I want you so much,
she said.
Rain, sex has never been good for me. I don't want you to be disappointed. I'm going to make it good for you,
he said.
It's going to be so good that you're never going to want to stop.
He swept her up in his arms as she gasped. She felt so small and so cherished, she already never wanted to stop. For Rain, she was so light it felt like he was carrying a feather. He carried her to the bed and sat her down, making a bit of distance between them so he could see her. His hands were at her waist, and he pushed up with his thumb, exposing the smooth brown flatness of her stomach, her navel a dark mystery waiting to be explored. He knelt, kissing her belly and working his lips and tongue over her skin, to her navel and dipping his tongue inside, making her shiver with sensation. He continued to push it upward, exposing the undersides of her breasts, and she shivered again as he licked the full undersides of both globes. She raised her arms over her head, and he slid the top up and off. She stood there a moment, arms raised, as Rain hastily shed his shirt, craving the feeling of her skin against his. As he stepped forward, pulling her into his arms, hers fell across his shoulders. He could feel her nipples scraping across his chest, and the sensation was maddening. She felt like hot silk against his torso, and he ran his hands up and down her back, reveling in the smooth, bare skin. She took a step back, sitting, then lying back on the bed. Rain drank in the sight of her, her light brown skin in contrast with the white comforter. Her hair was a mass of curls, spreading around her head in a dark glossy foot-long halo. She was breathtaking. She reached for the button of her shorts and Rain helped her, pulling down the tight denim as she raised her but to allow him to remove them. She had on lacy yellow panties, which came down with the shorts, leaving her gloriously naked on the bed. Rain shed his own shorts and underwear and sank down beside her. His fingers explored her curves and she moved restlessly under his touch, sometimes pushing herself into his touch, sometimes drawing back with a gasp. Her breasts were perfect little mounds, dark chocolate nipples centered on lighter areolas, standing up and a little puffy. He slid his hands onto them at the same they kissed, testing the firmness and softness, rolling a little nipple between his fingers, bringing a low moan from her. Tabora was becoming more aroused than she could ever remember. Her nipples were achingly hard and she knew her moisture was beginning to flow. Rain was so gentle with her, and so sensual, that she was falling into a trance of pleasure, where only Rain and Tabora existed. The night became a dream of gasped pleasures as his mouth moved over her body, doing things to her she had never experienced, and taking her places she had never been. Her cries rang in her own ears as she orgasmed, again and again,
When she felt his cock at her entrance, she had only the desire for him to bury himself in her and never leave. He felt huge, and she was very uncomfortable at first, pressing her little hands against him, needing time. Again, his gentleness overwhelmed her, and she wanted him more than ever. When he was fully inside her, she felt completely loved, completely filled, and as he began to move, the waves of love and pleasure swept over her, bringing her to a peak that exploded. The first time was in minutes, and they came together, months of pent-up love releasing and cresting. He never went soft inside her, and the next time went on and on until she was a sobbing, laughing bundle of sensation, and all thought of anything beyond this man, this place, was beyond her reach. They rested and slept, her body snuggled safely against his, the big spoon and the little spoon, when Rain awakened the next morning. It was to exquisite sensations, and he looked down to see his cock in the mouth of a disheveled little goddess as she worked on him until he exploded. She never missed a beat, and Rain felt like she had emptied him of his soul. When she had the last drop, she crawled up onto him, resting her head on his chest.
"Was it good?"
she murmured.
"I like doing that, Rain. You should get used to it. I've died and gone to heaven," he said.
"Tabora, I didn't like it. I loved it. I love you and everything about you." She snuggled in, content in his approval, and they slept again until it was time to pick up Mally. For the next 6 months, 3 and 4 times a week, Tabora and Mally were at Rain's place. His house was a nice size, 4 bedrooms, and Mally established her own little queendom there. She had her room, and Rain was constantly getting her new things for it. She loved zebras, and the entire room was full of zebra things. Stuffed zebras, zebra posters and toys, and a zebra bedspread and pillowcases. Barrett even made her zebra curtains. There was one splash of color. Rain came home one day, and Mally and Tabora were already there, making dinner. He had a stuffed tiger, which he gave to Mally. She looked at him in puzzlement, standing in front of him as he sat in his chair. He looked at her seriously, while Tabora looked on in amusement.
"Not all zebras are black and white," he told her. "Some of them are orange and black, like this one."
She looked at the tiger, back at Rain and back at the tiger. She turned it over in her hands, studying it. Finally, she looked up at him.
"This is not a zebra, Rain," she said.
He feigned shock.
"It's not. The lady who showed it to me promised me it was an orange and black zebra."
Mally shook her head.
"No, Rain, this is not a zebra. What do you think it is?"
he asked.
"This is a giraffe,"
she said, looking at him seriously. There was a moment of silence, and a snort exploded from Tabora. Rain burst out laughing and rolled off the chair into the floor. He grabbed Mally, pulling her down on top of him, tickling her until she squealed.
"You got me good, baby girl,"
he told her as she snuggled down into his hug.
"I thought I would get you, for sure, but you're too smart for me."
She nodded.
"Yes, I am," she giggled. "I love it though, Rain. Thank you for getting it for me."
The tiger occupied the center of her bed from then on, any time she wasn't in it, and she slept holding it. After that 6 months, Rain asked Tabora if she was going to renew her lease on her house.
"Do you want me not to renew it?"
she asked. Rain was very nervous, but he also wanted her very much not to renew that lease. He had been building his courage for a couple of weeks, and he had his speech all rehearsed.
"Well, it's up to you, of course," he said. "I was just thinking, you know, you and Mally spend nearly as much time at my house as you do at yours. It would be less expensive if you and Mally moved in with me. That's all you got, Rain?"
He blushed and stammered.
"No, I don't even know why I thought that would be a good thing to say. I'm a damn idiot, Tabora, or maybe just a coward. I want you to move in with me because I'm crazy about you. Every night you're not there I don't sleep well. I'm so in love with you, and I miss the hell out of you. I want to spend every minute with you. I'm also crazy about Mally."
"I know you are," she said.
"You have no idea, babe," he said. "I come home from a frustrating day at the garage where everything has gone wrong. I'm tired, grouchy, and I think I want to shower, get a beer, and take a nap. When I get here, there are 2 little brown angels waiting for me. One lights a fire in me the minute I see her."
"That's you?"
"I see you in the kitchen, and it makes my heart lurch. You look so gorgeous, so sexy, so everything I ever dreamed about in a woman, and that shitty day melts away."
Her eyes began to glisten in that way he knew she was happy, emotional. He wasn't through.
"Then I sit in my chair for a minute, and that other little brown angel comes bouncing in, climbs up on my lap and says, 'I love you, Rain. Do you know what I did? I feel like I'm the king of the world, Tabora. I want that every day. I'm so in love with you, and I love Mally with all my heart. Barrett loves you both as much as I do, and I want you with me, always.'"
She moved into him, offering him those puffy lips. He was happy to take them, and when they were both breathless and panting, she stepped back.
"I knew you could do it, Rain. That's what I needed."
They both laughed together.
"Yes," she said. "The answer is yes. I want to move in with you. Or maybe the answer is no."
Her brows drew together in a cute little frown.
"No, I don't want to renew my lease. I want to live with you."
Her lease expired after 2 months, and they became a family. It was everything Rain dreamed it would be. Tabora was in heaven. She lived with the man she loved with every fiber of her being. He loved her daughter, he was dependable, gentle, and he rocked her world in bed. Her job was better than she'd ever dreamed it could be. She was close to her colleagues, especially Debbie Collins and Steve Garner. They were so nice to her, helping her with every difficulty she had, and she felt like she belonged to the community in a way she had never felt before. The most important thing, to her, was that she had a best friend, for the first time in her life. Barrett had become so important to her. She confided everything in Barrett, and the tall, beautiful redhead held a place in her heart that no one else could touch. Barrett obviously felt the same way about her. Tabora was the first one Barrett told that she was dating an engineering professor from New Mexico State University. Barrett introduced Drew to her a month before she introduced him to Rain. Tabora liked the tall, quiet, humorous man from the first, and as Drew and Barrett became lovers, she was nearly as excited about it as Barrett was. They had been in Las Cruces long enough that Tabora and Mally knew many people, were invited to social events, and Tabora felt that she was respected because of her teaching job. The parents of her students spoke to her when they saw her, and for the first time, she felt stable and like she had a place in the world. Rain had been building a 1951 Mercury custom rod. It had taken him a good while and he was ready to sell. He was taking it to an auction in El Paso. He was planning to be gone 3 days, and Mally needed to enroll in kindergarten while he was going to be gone. When Rain learned that they wouldn't be going with him, he was dismayed, but it gave him the impetus and courage to do what he'd been trying to work up his nerve to do for a while. Some years earlier, Rain had been hiking in the Tinoco Mountain area and found 4 smaller and 1 large pink tourmaline. He had always found diamonds insipid, and he had plans. He had taken the stones to a jeweler a few months earlier, and had an engagement and matching wedding ring made in rose gold. He was planning to ask Tabora, but his nerve always failed him. This time when they were going to be apart for a while frightened him a little, and gave him the resolve to pull the trigger. On his date with Mally, Sunday afternoon, he took her to the park to play. The first time she came to the bench where he was sitting to rest for a second, he caught her and held her on his lap. "Mally, I want to tell you something," he said, squeezing her little body to his. "I need to tell you how much I love you." She looked up at him, the afternoon sun turning her eyes to honey and gold. "I know that's silly," she said. "I love you too, Rain." "I know, baby," he said. "But this is kinda special. I love you so much that I don't ever want to be without you." "What does that mean?" she asked. "It means I want to be your father," he told her, hardly able to speak. She could tell how serious he was. As far as she was concerned, Rain was her father, and she really didn't understand what he was saying. "Rain, you're already my father," she said. Dot, he nearly broke down, right there in public. He held her tightly until she complained. "Rain, you're squishing me." He laughed and loosened his hug, but not much. "I want to be more than anything in the world," he told her. "I'm going to ask your mama to marry me, baby, so we can be a family and I can really be your father. Would you be okay with that?"
"Oh, yes," she said.
"That would make mama happier than anything. I thought we were going to get married when I'm 10, Rain." She giggled and he roared with laughter. "You are quite the little minx, young lady," he told her. "By the time you're 10, you're going to be the queen of the world. I don't doubt it for a minute. I want to be your father just so I can sit back and watch you." "When do you think you'll ask her?" Mally asked.
"I was thinking after our date," he said.
"Will you help me, lovebug?"
"Yes, but would you push me in the swings first?"
Rain laughed.
"Yes, we'll do the important stuff first, okay?"
She nodded, climbed down from his lap and held his hand, leading him to the swings. She chattered away to him on the way home, keeping his mind occupied and preventing the build of his increasing nervousness. As she held his hand, skipping up the sidewalk, he could feel it and couldn't help feeling how crushed he was going to be if Tabora said no. Tabora was lying on the sofa, a glass of tea in her hand, watching TV, when they came in. She sat up, bracing herself for the tiny girl avalanche that buried her in excitement and a rush of words. When Mally had unburdened herself about her date, she paused for a breath, then said excitedly,
"Rain wants to."
She clapped her hand over her mouth, cutting off her own words.
"Rain wants to what, baby?"
Tabora asked. Mally shook her head, keeping her hand over her mouth, her curls swinging. Her eyes shining, she lifted her hand long enough to say,
"It's a secret, mama."
Tabora cocked her head to one side and looked quizzically up at Rain. He took a deep breath, sank to one knee and brought his hand from behind his back, holding the ring box. He opened it, and the beautiful stones glowed as the sun through the front window set them ablaze. Tabora's hand flew to her mouth and she gasped.
"It's not a secret that I love you and want to spend the rest of my life with you, Tabora. Will you marry me and make my wish come true?"
Mally squealed in excitement.
"He wants to marry us, mama. He wants to be my father. He told me at the park."
Rain pulled Tabora's hand away from her face, sliding the ring on her long, slender finger.
"Yes?"
he asked softly. Tabora nodded, not trusting her voice.
"Say it, mama," Mally urged.
"She means yes, Rain." Tabora finally found her voice.
"Yes, Rain. I will. I want to. I've always. Yes."
Rain pulled her into an embrace, Mally squished between them. She wiggled free, kissed them both and went away to do Mally things, leaving the adults alone.
"Are you sure, Rain?"
Tabora asked.
"Never sure of anything," he said. "Do you like the ring? I can get a diamond if you would like that better."
He explained how he had the stones and how he had the ring made.
"No, I love it," she said.
"This means so much more than if you just bought a ring at a jewelry store. It's beautiful, Rain, and the fact that you went to so much trouble makes it mean so much more. Anyone can have a diamond. This is special." Rain had so many emotions sweeping over him that he could hardly contain them. Love, relief that she'd said yes, and an overwhelming urge to take her to their bedroom and make love to her, over and over. That would have to wait until after Mally's bedtime, and he didn't know if he could wait that long. He had one more thing to do. I have to call Barrett and tell her. He explained.
Let me tell her first, please.
Tabora pleaded.
I can't wait. Let's do it now, and then you can tell her, okay?
Rain had no objection to that plan, and Barrett was ecstatic at the news.
I'm coming over right now. She said.
I can't wait to see your ring, Tabora.
Good job, bruh.
I've been waiting for you to grow a set and asked her. Rain left for El Paso 3 days later, had a good trip, and sold his car for a nice profit. He talked to Tabora and Mally every night, and could hardly wait to see them. He left Friday morning, early, and was home by noon. He stopped at the pharmacy and took Barrett to lunch. They walked into the diner, and the first thing Rain saw was Tabora, sitting in a booth across the way. Steve Garner was sitting across from her, holding her left hand in both of his, and she was smiling up at him across the table. Rain was stunned. He stopped, causing Barrett to bump into him.
What the hell, bruh?
She exclaimed. She peered around him and gasped. At that moment, Tabora looked up at them and waved, beckoning them over. Rain turned on his heel and left the diner. He heard the door open and shut behind him, and Barrett grabbed his arm, spinning him around.
What the hell are you doing?
She asked.
You saw that, he said angrily. I don't know what I saw, and neither do you.
She said.
We're going back in there and finding out.
They never got a chance. The door opened and Tabora flew out, looking frantically around. She spotted them, ran over and planted herself in front of Rain, glaring up at him furiously.
What the hell is wrong with you? She yelled. Were you just going to walk away? You don't get to walk away from me, Rain. There is no way in hell you can just walk away from me. I saw.
He began.
You saw shit. She shouted. I know what you saw. You saw me showing my ring to Steven. That's what you saw. If you'd have come over and took a seat like my fiancé should have done, you'd have seen Debbie come back from the restroom, but you just walked away like a big fucking jealous coward.
Rain felt a swirl of confusion. He felt tremendous relief, for one thing, that what he had been feeling a moment before was completely unfounded, but he also felt hugely ashamed that he'd acted as he had. He tried reaching for Tabora to hug her, but she struck his hand away.
No! Don't think you can just love on me and I'll forget about this!
She was obviously very angry. Then she burst into tears and flung herself on him, sobbing into his chest.
How can you think? I would never. Jesus Christ, Rain! I think we should kick his ass, right here in the parking lot.
Barrett said. That brought a watery chuckle from Tabora.
We should. I'm so sorry, Tabora. You should leave it at I'm so sorry.
Barrett said.
There is no just dot. You're right.
He acknowledged.
Baby.
He cupped her face and turned it up so he could look at her. Tears streaked down her little brown cheeks, and he felt awful.
I'm so sorry, Tabora. Please forgive me. I'm so crazy about you that I don't think that well. I'm so sorry. No, I know that things sometimes seem like there's something they're not.
She said.
I know what you saw, but you have to trust me more than that, Rain. I have to trust you too. I will never, ever hurt you like that. Whatever happens, you can't just walk away. You can't just throw me away like that.
No, I know. He said.
I swear, Tabora, I will never do that again. I made an ass of myself. I know that. What do you want me to do?
She stepped back and looked up at him.
I want you to come inside. I'm going to the restroom to fix myself. You embarrassed the hell out of me, Rain. You need to apologize to Debbie and Steven, too.
He nodded.
I'll wait by the door for you, then we'll go over, get lunch, and I'll apologize and explain.
He was as good as his word, and though it was awkward for a few minutes, everyone was cool and they had lunch together. Rain told them about the car auction, Tabora, Debbie and Steve told Rain and Barrett what was going on at school. Barrett told them about going to the White Sands Museum with her boyfriend, and then it was time for the teachers to go back to school. It took Rain some work to get Tabora in the same groove they had been in before, but he ate large amounts of crow and the bump in the road faded. They had very few arguments, about anything, and as the wedding day approached, they both thought they were in a very good place. It was not going to be a lavish affair. Neither of them wanted that, but Tabora did want to be married in a church. She spoke to Father Peter, but since either of them were Catholic, it was impossible for him. There was a wedding venue that Barrett knew about, and a couple who were ordained to perform ceremonies, and she took Tabora to check it out. It was a beautiful location, the quaint chapel delighted Tabora, and they made the arrangements. The guests would consist of the teachers at Tabora's school, Rain's circle of close friends, Barrett, who would be Tabora's maid of honor, and Mally, who was extremely excited to be flower girl. On a Saturday, 1 week before the wedding, Rain drove to his garage to make some last-minute preparations. They would be driving his latest project on a short honeymoon. He had found a 1932 Ford Model B, and had been customizing it. It was yellow and black, he had re-chromed everything on it, and had it ready to go. Rain wanted to check it one more time, take it for a little spin and make sure there would be no problems. He had Mally with him. She was very excited about riding in the deuce for the first time. They were only going to be gone 3 days and she was going to stay with Barrett. She often had sleepovers with Barrett, but this was the first time she was ever going to be apart from her mother for more than one night. She was a little apprehensive, but she was quite comfortable with Barrett and excited about the activities the two of them had planned. Rain was on his creeper, checking the brake lines he had just installed, and Mally was sitting in her comfy chair, playing with her new Etch-a-Sketch, when the door burst open and Tabora rushed in, slamming and locking the door behind her. She had been at the florist. They were discussing the boutonniere for Rain's tuxedo and the corsages for Barrett and Mally, and she was arranging for her own flowers, the bouquets that would decorate the venue and the rose petals that Mally would spread on her trip up the aisle. She was very excited, feeling the anticipation building, and she took several pictures to show Rain and Barrett. Rain had given her money to pay for everything and she left the shop, feeling she had everything arranged. She got in her car and started home. The shop was on the opposite side of town from home, and she made several turns, just lost in thought about the beautiful flowers she had ordered. She had just made her signal to turn left when she was startled from her reverie by a car horn behind her. She looked in her rearview mirror, fearful that she had cut someone off, or something. The driver behind her was not honking his horn at her, but at another car that was attempting to merge into the left turn lane behind her, cutting the other driver off. She was thankful that it wasn't her at fault and turned left onto her street. She drove slowly along through the school zone, and something made her glance at her mirror again. The car that had caused the altercation at the light was still behind her, an older model Chevrolet Impala. She noticed that the driver was black, which was a bit unusual. There were no black people besides her and Mally living in their neighborhood, and she took a second look. Her breath froze in her throat and panic clawed at her thoughts. It was Joey. The man in the car behind her was Joey, and he was obviously following her. She gasped for air, all the dread of her life before finding Rain deluging her in a flood of fear and misery. She couldn't think, couldn't breathe, couldn't do anything but drive numbly down the street. She passed their home, unable to think what to do, continuing down the street until she came to the T, three blocks further on. She was forced from her paralysis. She had to make a decision. An image of Rain flashed through her mind, and she made a decision. She would go to Rain. Praying that he and Mally would still be at the garage, she turned right and drove toward her refuge. Rain would know what to do. Her thoughts were still a jumbled mess, and she had no other aim than getting to Rain. She wished she could lose Joey, but she didn't know how to do that. All she could do was continue to drive. She did think to lock her doors. She stopped at a red light, about three blocks from the garage. No cars were in sight, and she decided to make a move. Slapping her accelerator to the floor, she shot through the red light, tires squealing, and sped the three blocks, leaving a good distance between herself and her pursuer. She was immensely relieved when she saw Rain's truck parked outside. He was still there. She screeched to a stop in front of the garage, snatched up her bag and dashed inside, losing one of her shoes in the process. She didn't care. Rain was inside and he would know what to do. She bolted through the small door, slamming and locking it behind her. She looked wildly around, seeing Mally in her chair looking at her mother with startled eyes. Rain was rolling out from under the deuce on his creeper, and she ran to him, sobbing quietly. Mally jumped up and started toward her.
Mama, what's wrong?
She asked.
It's nothing, baby.
Tabora tried to reassure her.
Mally, I want you to go up to the apartment and turn on the TV, okay? Don't ask Mama any questions right now, just do it. I'll be up in a minute. I need to talk to Rain about something.
It's okay, baby, just go. Mally was very reluctant to go, but Mama never raised her voice with Mally unless it was something important, so she went. Rain was getting to his feet by this time, wiping his hands on a shop towel.
Tabora, I thought you were at the florist,
he said.
God, kitten, you look like you've seen a ghost. What's wrong?
She flung herself into his arms, sobbing in quiet desperation.
I did see a ghost, Rain,
she said.
It's Joey. He's here. He was following me and I didn't know what to do, so I came here. What are we going to do, Rain? What if he makes me go back? What if he tries to take Mally? What if he hurts her? Oh God, Rain, what are we going to do?
Rain firmly moved her back a step, walked quickly to the garage door and locked it, then hurried to the back door and locked that. He returned to Tabora, taking her in his arms and hold her as she sobbed.
Tabora, stop panicking. He told her firmly. This is a metal building with metal doors. There are no windows. No one is coming in here unless we let them. We're safe here.
Now calm down and tell me what happened.
Are you sure it is Joey? Tabora tried to get control of herself. They were safe. That came through her fear and calmed her. She nodded her head.
Yes, Rain, I'm sure. I was so afraid.
You don't know what he's like, Rain. He's evil, and he's going to hurt me or Mally.
No, I don't know what he's like, Rain said. He may be evil, but he's not going to be hurting anyone. You don't have to be afraid of him, Tabora. I'm not going to allow him to hurt you, Mally, or anyone else. We can call the police.
Is that what you want to do?
She shook her head.
What good would that do? I don't think it's a crime for him to be here. He didn't do anything but follow me. What would the police do?
They might ask him questions, but unless he does something, they can't do anything. It would just make him mad and he would be even worse. If he hurts me or tries to take Mally, it would be too late.
Rain sighed. You're probably right.
Tabora, I want you to go upstairs and stay with Mally, he said.
I should be with her.
She agreed.
What are you going to do, Rain?
I think I'll go have a talk with Mr. Creepy out there, Rain said.
She threw herself on him, wrapping her arms around him.
No.
It was a plaintive wail.
Don't go, Rain. He'll do something, hurt you.
Don't go. Rain gently disengaged.
Tabora, look at me, he said.
She didn't understand.
What?
She asked. Do I look like someone who is afraid? He asked. Do I look like someone who some punk is going to hurt?
Trust me, honey, the man is a coward. Every man who bullies women is a coward. I'll just have a talk with him, see what he wants. Lock the door when I go out and don't open it unless I say the words Las Cruces, okay?
Tabora reluctantly agreed and Rain slipped out the back door. He heard her lock it behind him and he tried the knob to make sure. It was locked, and he walked to the corner of the building and looked around. There was an 18-wheeler parked at the curb, making a delivery to the machine shop next door. The Impala was parked in front of the truck, and Rain could see someone inside. Keeping the truck between him and Joey, he worked his way to the front of the truck and moved quickly up to the driver's door. The man inside looked up when Rain's shadow fell across him. "Something I can do for you." His voice was deep and gravelly. Rain stood very close to the open window, bending a little to look inside the car.
"I was wondering the same thing," he said. "You're parked in front of my building. Something I can do for you. My woman in there and I'm waiting for her to come out," Joey said.
"There's only one woman in there, and she's not yours," Rain informed him.
"If you're talking about Tabora, she's my fiancée. I think you should move along and not come back. She's mine, and that's my girl, too," Joey said.
"No, you don't have a girl, and you don't have a woman," Rain said.
"What you're about to have is a problem. Start this hunk of rust up, put it in gear and drive away. Don't ever come back."
The man's dark eyes were pools of malevolence as he looked up at Rain. His right hand moved into the floorboard and Rain saw a flash of metal. Joey had pulled what looked like a snub-nose .38 revolver from under the seat and he started to raise the weapon. Rain reached in and grabbed Joey by the left arm, jerking it outside the car and slamming the man against the door, his head striking the doorpost. He was stunned and momentarily dropped the weapon in the seat beside him. He was being pulled through the window, and he desperately scrabbled around for the gun. He found it and tried to bring it to bear. He was being jammed in the window and his arms were trapped. The gun went off, firing into the floor, and Joey twisted desperately to get his right arm free. Rain was in a jam. If he let Joey go, he would fall back into the car and be free to shoot. If he dragged him out, he might be able to take the gun away. He heaved, and Joey was squeezed through the window. He fought to get his gun hand free. As he was outside the car to his waist, his arm came free and he tried to shoot Rain. The gun fired twice beside Rain's left ear, and he could now hear nothing on that side. Joey managed to get the gun on Rain's left side and he pulled the trigger again. Rain felt the shock and knew he was hit and needed to do something. He took a step to his right, pivoted and dropped, his full weight behind the elbow strike to the back of Joey's neck. The gun fell to the ground, and Joey struggled weakly, stunned by the blow. Rain turned loose of Joey's arm and seized him by the hair with both hands, slamming his face into the unyielding steel of the door four times until Joey went limp. Rain grabbed him by the belt and the collar of his shirt, dragging him the rest of the way out of the car, letting him fall to the ground. He picked up the gun and tossed it inside the car, and then grabbed the keys out of the ignition. Joey wasn't moving, but Rain gave him a savage kick to the side of the head, just to make sure he wasn't going anywhere. He walked to the back and opened the trunk, then dragged Joey back there and threw him into the trunk, slamming the trunk lid. There was a roaring in Rain's ears and he felt lightheaded. He walked to the front of the garage and pounded on the small door. Nothing happened for a moment, so he pounded again. "Rain?" he heard Tabora's small frightened voice. "Yes, it's me," he said. "Las Cruces."
The door flung open and he saw Tabora and Mally's wide frightened eyes.
"Aye, it's okay."
The roaring in his head reached deafening proportions and he was lying on the ground.
"How?"
He struggled to speak. He wondered why he was lying down, and then his vision narrowed to a point as blackness claimed him. He knew no more. Tabora and Mally had heard the shots from inside the garage apartment, and Tabora grew frantic with worry. She had to do something, but she had no idea what. Barrett, she thought of Barrett. She snatched up the phone and called. Barrett answered on the third ring and Tabora breathed a sigh of thanksgiving. Barrett could hardly make sense of the flood of words, but she did catch the gist. The words,
"Joey,"
and gunshots were enough. She snatched up her purse, got her own handgun, and stuffed it inside. She called the police and told them that shots had been fired at her brother's garage, giving them the address. She ran to her car and drove to the garage. The police had not yet arrived, and she saw Tabora and Mally kneeling beside her brother's prone form just outside the garage door. There was no one else around, so she jumped out and ran over. Tabora and Mally were nearly hysterical, but Barrett had no time for that until she discovered that Rain was breathing. His shirt on the left side was soaked in blood, and she ripped it away. There was a nasty-looking wound there, but she didn't think it was in a terribly dangerous place.
"Mally, listen to me, baby," she said. "Run in and bring us back some clean shop towels. You know where Rain keeps them, right?"
Mally nodded and scampered inside.
"Tabora, when she comes back you need to press the towels against that wound to try to control the bleeding, do you understand?"
Tabora just knelt there, holding Rain's hand.
"Tabora!"
Barrett's voice was sharp, snapping Tabora out of her shock.
"Yes, I understand."
Tabora was grateful to have something to do. Two men from the machine shop and the truck driver came up just as Mally returned with the towels. Tabora made a pad of four of the towels and pressed them against the wound. Everyone was talking excitedly and sirens were wailing closer. The police arrived, followed in a few minutes by an ambulance. Rain had come around a couple of times after the police arrived, explaining what had happened. Joey's whereabouts remained a mystery until the second time he came around and told them he was in the trunk. Rain was loaded in the ambulance, and it sped away, followed by Barrett, Tabora and Mally in Barrett's car. Tabora and Mally were shaken and crying, and Barrett did all she could to keep them calm while she tried to drive.
This is all my fault.
Tabora kept repeating, almost as if it was a mantra. If I hadn't been so stupid, Rain would be fine. Now he's hurt because of me, and I'll never forgive myself.
Barrett quickly lost patience with that.
Tabora, nothing that has happened was your fault. You need to stop saying that and stop thinking it. Did you shoot my brother?
Tabora shook her head miserably.
No, but if I hadn't.
Barrett didn't let her finish.
You have been nothing but a blessing to Rain. Everything about you, everything about Mally, has been a gift from God to Rain, to me, and to our community.
You didn't invite that. She glanced at Mally, who was soaking it all in.
Crazed lunatic here. You didn't ask him to cause trouble, you didn't ask him to shoot Rain. Not one thing is your fault, and if you say one more word about that, I am going to scream.
That brought a half sob, half chuckle, from Tabora, and Barrett quickly tried to divert her.
How do you think he found you?
She asked. Tabora's curls swayed from side to side.
I don't know. Well, maybe I do. You know I had to change my car license and my driver's license. Maybe he found out like that. What are we going to do, Barrett? What if he goes to court or something and makes me let him see?
She shifted her eyes toward Mally.
I don't think you're going to need to worry about that,
Barrett said. She reached over and patted Mally's leg, then to Boris.
He shot Rain. That's a crime, probably a bunch of crimes, and it's attempted murder. I think he'll be going to prison for a very long time. Don't worry about that, sweetheart. Let's get Rain healed up and into that chapel so you two can get married.
Rain was in the emergency room being worked on when they got there, so they sat together and worried for a while. It wasn't long before a nurse came looking for them. She took them back to a curtained-off area where they found the doctor talking to Rain, who was awake. He was bandaged on the wounded side, but he smiled and extended his arm on the other side to Mally. She ran to stand beside the bed and he wrapped his arm around her.
He's going to be fine, the doctor reported. No broken bones. The bullet just passed through the flesh and he lost a lot of blood. He's going to be fine as soon as that wound heals. We'll take the stitches out and he will be as good as new in no time. How long will it take?
Tabora asked timidly. Rain laughed.
We're getting married as soon as I'm able, he told the doctor. I don't want that put off, if it's possible.
The doctor smiled.
Well, we'll release you tomorrow. There should be no problem with that. I'd seriously advise against any strenuous honeymoon activity until the stitches come out.
Tabora blushed and Rain and Barrett laughed.
What are honeymoon acti?
What he said? Mally asked. Barrett scooped her up and Tabora took her place with Rain's arm around her waist.
That is something you won't find out until you go on your honeymoon, love bug.
Barrett told Mally.
Remember, you're staying with me.
They stayed for a while, and then Rain became very sleepy from the pain medication the nurse gave him. He was moved to a room, and once he was settled in and sleeping, the three girls left and went home. Tabora insisted that she did not want to be alone, so Barrett went and got a few things and spent the night. She went to work the next morning and Tabora and Mally went to the hospital. Rain was released shortly after noon, and they took him home. He quickly recovered his strength and though sore, he was getting around well. Both Rain and Tabora were interviewed by the police several times, and they were able to relieve any anxiety by reporting that Joey was being prosecuted for several crimes that would see him getting a long stretch in prison. The wedding went off without a hitch, other than Rain's difficulty getting into his tuxedo. And it was everything Tabora had hoped it would be. Mally was adorable, spreading the rose petals up the walk, and Rain's heart nearly burst when he saw Tabora in white, walking up the aisle toward him, her curls in studied confusion and her teeth flashing in the most beautiful smile he'd ever seen. There was a little strenuous honeymoon activity, but the strenuous part was done by Tabora, while Rain lay on his back. Believing he'd died and gone to heaven. By the time Mally started the first grade, Rain had adopted her, and she was incredibly excited to learn she had a sibling on the way. She was the flower girl at Barrett's wedding, and Tabora was her matron of honor, exchanging the places. Rain gave away the bride, and he loaned them the dues for their honeymoon. Joey was convicted on all counts, and that source of stress was over. He had no more success in prison than he'd had in life, and he was murdered in prison, 3 years into his sentence. Rain was sitting in the car dealership. He'd come in to get the brakes done on his truck and he was waiting. He heard the outside door open and a little brown angel spied him, and came running to give him a hug and a kiss. She had on a little white dress, and his eyes grew moist as her curls tickled his chin.
Hi, Daddy.
Mally greeted him.
You'll never guess what happened at school today.
A larger, very pregnant clone of his dusky angel leaned against the counter.
I'm sure you'll tell him all about it, she said. My feet are killing me, Rain. You ready?
The end. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. The Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions, which opens up bonus content.